I want you to get your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to tell you the title of my sermon today. It's called, How the Devil Comes After Me. How the Devil Comes After Me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And once you arrive there, find verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And then stand with me, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse number 9. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. When we get to verse 11, that is the primary verse that we'll use for the sermon today. The Bible says this, verse number 9, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Verse 11 is very interesting to me. It there tells us that Satan is trying to get an advantage on us, or take advantage of us. Then it says, but we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, he's trying to take advantage of us, but if we're not ignorant to what he's trying to do, we stand a chance. And I want to talk to you about how the devil comes after me. Father, bless us now. Help us to take this simple sermon, but to become strong because of it. Strong within ourselves with the help of thy Spirit. God, limit the interruptions so that we can strengthen ourselves. We certainly do not want Satan to take advantage of us. Well, then we'll have to be aware of what he does to us and how, so we can be prepared properly. Bless us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you a real quick story, and then I'm going to come back to the scripture. And young people, this is a time where you listen. We all just are real quiet. We sit and listen. I coached soccer for many years, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Coached dozens and dozens of teams. Coached all levels of soccer. The story I'm about to tell you has to do when I was coaching at junior high level. And I was coaching at a Christian school. Not all Christian schools are able to have many levels of soccer. A lot of teams, they might have a varsity team, or they just have one team that's made up of everybody in the Christian school. But we had enough players that we could have many levels of soccer. So we had a junior high team that's made up of 7th and 8th grade boys. And then we had a junior varsity team that was usually made up of 9th and 10th graders, and then a varsity team that was made up of 11th and 12th graders. Well, we had gone to a church to play their Christian school, and I already knew this. It wasn't anything new, but they didn't have enough people to have a junior high soccer team. I remember, my boys were all 7th and 8th graders, and when they would play our junior high team, they would just kind of divide their soccer element in half. And half of them would play the junior hires, and the other half would then play our varsity. Well, that meant that when they did it that way, there would be boys, my boys. Now, you got to picture 7th and 8th grade boys. Usually 7th grade girls are 6 inches taller than 7th grade boys, if y'all remember the awkwardness of those years. Well, see, I've got these 7th and 8th grade boys. They've not come into themselves yet, and they've not had no growing spurts or anything. And then we look out on the field, and the team we're about to play has got 10th and 11th graders on it, and they're big burly guys. I remember one of my boys one day, we're getting ready to play this team, and I've got my 7th and 8th graders, and we're playing kids that weigh twice as much as them. They're twice as tall as them. I remember one boy saying, "Coach, look at how hairy his legs are." I'm thinking, yeah, buddy, the competition's about to get really steep. And, you know, they would say, well, if you want to cancel the game, I'm not for canceling a game when I'm outnumbered. I never thought that way. I'm glad that David didn't think that way about Goliath. But we would play. But what I did is I scouted the other team a little bit. You know, I could watch as a coach. I'd watch the other team. I knew what guys we were going to play. And I was able to say to my boys, I'd say, fellas, you're going to have to face something. We'd huddle up, and I would tell them, I said, I'm going to talk to you about the strengths or how you're going to be approached by that other team. I said, you see that big, tall guy? and he's playing on the front line, you notice that they keep on throwing him the ball when they're warming up, and he's heading that ball right into that net. And I told him, that's going to be real easy for him to do since he is about 2 foot taller than most of you. I said, so the goal is the guy that's feeding him the ball, you can handle the guy that's feeding him the ball, but the big tall guy you can't handle because he's so much taller than you. And what I would do is I would analyze the players. Then this big guy, I mean, this guy, he looked like he could be two or three players all wrapped into one. He was huge, you know, Pillsbury Doughboy all the way. He was a big old boy. And I tell the boys, I said, look, not even all of you are going to be able to handle him. You know, if he checks you or slide tackles you, you're dead meat. You're gone. We'll have a funeral for you. I said, so you guys, you just keep, I'll tell you how to motivate and move yourself around him. Well, you know what we were trying to do? We had a big opponent, and in a way, that opponent was stronger than us and those boys on their own. So what I was trying to do is I was trying to say to them, there is a way to figure out how your opponent's going to approach you, and you can still have victory, though your opponent is very vicious and very strong, and that opponent outnumbers you. So you all know, you will not handle the devil on your own. You have an opponent, he's bigger than you, he fights dirty, and he's nasty. And he's trying to get the advantage over you. Notice in our text, it speaks of the devil trying to get advantage on us. We should know that he's trying to get an advantage on us. We should know that he has a plan to take advantage of us. We should know, and maybe we ought to know the ways that he plans on that advantage. I think we should be watching for the ways he's going to try to overpower us. I don't think we ought to always be surprised when the devil tries to take advantage of us. It shouldn't come as a shock to you. I mean, I know there are sometimes he catches us off guard, but folks, he's been after you for a while. Don't let it shock you when he comes after you again. We shouldn't let him get that advantage. You know what? I wonder if maybe we should not even get us a little list of the kinds of things that he uses to come after us. You know, there are things that the devil might use on me, he might not use exactly on you, and there are some things that he'll try to get you down with that he might not use on me. But it would be a good idea if I figured out, how does the devil come after me? Well, what is it that he comes after me with? And for some of you, you are suffering repetitive failures in life because the devil comes after you, and he uses some of the same things over and over again, but you're just not paying attention to his attack, maybe on your weakness. And I don't say that to offend you, but God knows we all have our weaknesses. Might be a good idea if we took a good long look at the opponent and said, now, well, how's he coming at me? What's he trying to do here? The second half of this verse, it said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, the devil's coming after me. I know he's coming after me. I see that he's coming after me, and I don't want to be ignorant to his approaches. I don't want to be ignorant to that. I don't want to be in the dark about how he might, in a unique way, come after me. I believe that this was written at Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying that I don't want the devil to get an advantage on me, and I'm going to figure out what might be coming my direction. Then I'm ready for it. I don't want to be ignorant about the fact that I'm Satan's target. Folks, I do believe this. I believe that everybody in this auditorium, the devil comes after you, and there are some unique ways that he comes after you. And if you're not keeping your eye on those unique ways, then he'll get you. He'll trip you up. He'll get you down. God doesn't want us to be ignorant to those attacks. There's two things that I did that helped me. They helped me considerably. One day I sat down and put a list together of what encourages me. I mean, I wrote a list of what encourages me. I have a list of what encourages me. So when I'm having a rough day, I get my list out of what encourages me, and I read that list, and I do what that list tells me to do. And boy, has that changed my life. I needed encouragement. I got a list of what encourages me, and then I go to that list and I let it encourage me. Now, I got to tell you this also. I have another list. And that list is the things that I think the devil does to discourage me. You know, the devil, he takes a punch at you. If you're not careful, he'll hit you and you'll almost be oblivious to what's coming your way. But you know, there are times the devil hits me, and when he does, I look at it, I get that touch of discouragement, and I say, you know what? This is on the list. I'm not shocked that he's working on me in that area today. It's on my list. He knows to come at me in that area. I got to tell you, it helps me. It helps me when I know what encourages me, and it helps me when I know what discourages me. When I'm down, I use my encouragement list to get me up. And then when I'm up and he tries to get me down, I watch for that list of how he tries to hit me with certain things. I realize he'd like to destroy my ministry. He'd like to destroy my future. He wants to destroy my courage or my attitude or my relationships or my commitments to God and the church. I'm gonna do something real simple today, and you all are used to this. I'm gonna give you my list of how the devil, what he uses to come after me. Now, your list will probably be different than my list, but I'm going to share with you my list, because I figured out what does he do and how does he get me, how does he trip me up. I've looked at me long enough, I'm pretty well aware of my own stupidities and weaknesses, and it wasn't real hard to get a list. It's hard to minimize it a little bit. It was pretty long. I'm not going to give you the whole list. We don't have time, but I put a list together. You know, I was at a store recently, and when I was there, I had to go to the service desk, and I noticed that at the service desk there was a book there, and I noticed the book was open. You know what was in the book? It was the names of the people from which they were telling their employees not to receive checks. And there was page after page after page of people that had gone there and written bad checks to that business, and they had a list. You know what that list was? That business said, we have a list of those that hurt us, and we were going to set up a system to keep ourselves from being hurt. Doesn't that make sense? Don't worry, folks. I didn't see your name on the list. You're all thinking, which store was it? No, you don't have to worry. That's not what this sermon's about. But I'm telling you, I thought, you know, I understand that. They had the list. Did you know this? You know that just before Jesus was arrested, Jesus warns Peter, and he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You know what Peter should have done? He probably should have pulled out a 3x5 card and wrote down, don't deny. Because he had been told it's coming your direction. But you know what he did? He probably didn't write it down. Or whatever happened, but next thing you know, Peter's denying. Folks, if I were you, I would study you and be aware of how he's most apt to come after you. And then when he does come, don't be shocked by it, and it will help you then to have some victories that maybe you wouldn't have had before. Again, this gets simpler as it goes along. One thing about the kids that are coming in from children's church, they're not coming into complicated preaching here. I'm just going to tell you my list. I wrote the things down that the devil uses when he comes after me. And I got to tell you, one thing he has worked me over, and I've tripped up and tripped up and tripped up. It's my pride. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. I could revert at verse after verse after verse about pride. It's all the way through the Bible. I have to be honest, I really didn't want to put this on my list. I had it on my list. I said, I'm going to take it off my list. And the Lord said, that's why it's got to be on your list. I said, yeah, but I'm going to tell the people this. I'm going to preach to my people about this. He said, put it on the list. I said, okay. But I'm not real bad at this one. I got a problem. Jeff Owens is proud. Boy, does that get me into trouble. There are times with my family that if I just control that pride, things didn't need to go to that level of intensity. And the devil comes after me about this a lot. I don't know about you. Maybe this one wouldn't have to be on your list, but boy, I have to keep an eye on my pride. I have to keep an eye on it. I know it's on my list, and this was a rough one because this is on my list. I know it's on my list, and I'm always telling myself, be careful of this one. But every time I turn around, I'm thinking, how did I let that happen? I know I have a pride issue. How did this happen to me again? How did my pride get out of control again? How did I get the know-it-all attitude again? My pride hurts me far too often. My pride hurts others far too often. The devil targets my pride. I'm just sure he does. I think he goes, get ready, Owens. Pride's going to take you out again this week. I think he does. Listen, may I say to everybody in here, most people that I know, pride ought to be on their list. You say, preacher, what would help us to know if pride ought to be on our list? How much do you pray? The absence of prayer is the proof of pride. And I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. And I'm not talking about Lord bless the food, amen. Christians that have a lot of pride don't think they need prayer. Truly humble people pray because they are dependent on the all-knowing God. But and that's it. I'm done with that point. But it's on my list. Pride's on my list. See, I don't want him to take advantage of me. So I don't want to be blind to his devices. I have looked at me and I said, you know, there's some things that I know he comes at. There are areas where he comes after me. So I got a little list and I said, I am going to be cautious in a special way with these things. Then I don't know how to put this next one. I'm going to put it as simply as I can. Not only my pride, but my strength. And maybe I'll explain this to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despair even of life. Folks, could I warn all of you? I'll apply this one to me in a couple of different ways, but sometimes our strengths can get us in trouble. You might have a strength. You might. And it may be a real strength. But be careful if that strength gets too connected to point number one, which is your pride, because that'll get you into trouble. But that's not really my thought. Here, Paul is talking about how that when he was in Asia, he faced a heartache. And it said that he was pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul is facing a heartache, and he said the pressure of that heartache was out of measure. In other words, if there were some sort of a pressure gauge, if you've ever seen a pressure gauge, you get to the top of the pressure gauge and it's usually red. That's emergency. That's danger. And Paul said, my life pressure gauge at this point was in the red and it was virtually off the charts. So it couldn't be measured. He said it's above strength. You say, what does that mean? Paul was saying, it seemed to me like the pressure that I was under was that pressure took more strength than I seemed to have. He said, to the point of despair. To the point of despair. Now, I don't know about you, but I know what the devil does to me. I've been teaching and preaching the truth of God will never allow anything to come upon me that he will not give me the strength to handle. God's not unfair. God's not unjust. So if a pressure comes to me, God will see me through it. I can go through this and be a decent Christian and do right through that pressure. But I got to tell you, the devil knows that if he puts enough pressure on me, I can get some panic in me, and I forget that I can do this. You ever have the pressure come on you and you're at your wit's end? And you're saying, I don't know if I can do this. Matter of fact, there are times that the pressure will come and you'll say, I can't do this. I can't do it. Now, wait a minute. We all know that God will not bring more to us than what we can handle. But the devil has a way of pushing us to the limits of our strength and even convincing us that God pushed us too far or God allowed it to go too far. I'll make everybody here a promise. God will never put more on you than what you can handle. But all of us at times face things we're saying, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can take this. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh my. God will not. And you know what the devil's doing? He's pushing your buttons. Now, most of you, you've heard a truth like that before. If you've been in our church, you've heard it for years. God will not put more on you than what you can handle. But it's amazing. We know that. We've heard that. We've heard it over and over again. But at midnight on Friday when your heart is broken and you can't see because of the tears in your eyes and you feel like the whole world is collapsing around you, you're saying to yourself, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can take it. What's happening here? It's all over. My life as I know it, it's ending. I'm devastated. I'm destroyed. And then I don't know what happens to you, but when I face that, if I can get to sleep, I wake up the next morning and I find that verse where the Bible says His mercies are new every morning, and you wake up the next morning and you say, well, I guess I can take it. I guess everything that I thought was going to happen to me, it didn't happen, and it wasn't as bad as what I thought. And I don't know the entire process, but I will promise you, the devil has a way. And I wish, oh my, do I wish that you went through this process once in life and you learned and said, you know what, if God allows it to come your way, you're going to make it. But somehow the devil knows how to push you to your limits over and over and over again to somehow repeatedly convince you you can't take it. But you know, we're all living proof. We did. But it's on my list. My pride is on my list, and then my strength. And what happens is the devil. And I'm not tooting my horn about my strength. I'm saying the devil knows how to push me to some mental state of just seemingly above what I think my strength is. And he's hammering me, saying, "You can't take it. You can't take it. It's not fair. You can't do this. You can't go on." Sometimes I'm going, "Okay. I can't take it. I'm not going to make it." But then God reminds me, no, wait a minute, Jeff, we've been here before. We've been here before. I brought you through the last time. I brought you through everything you've ever been through. Now shake it off, buddy. And realize the devil just, he's coming after you in that area again. Now, I don't know. I don't know if that needs to be on your list. But it's on mine. Got to watch out for my pride because it's one of the ways the devil comes after me to get me messed up. I got to watch out for me remembering the limits of my strength and knowing that God's there for me. But not only that, I hate to admit this, but I hate this list. I think I need to change this sermon altogether. My temper. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Notice the Bible says that the fools act in rage. And I'll be honest, I think I can say this, and I hope it comes out right. This used to be way at the top of my list. I've been able to bump it down my list some. I don't lose my temper like I once did. That's because everybody else just finally got themselves straightened out. They're so much easier to deal with. This used to be much higher at the top of my list, but it's still on my list. I know that somehow I can say to myself, now, Jeff, in the Spirit of God, you can control your temper. You don't have to lose your temper. It does not have to get out of control. But the devil can come after me, and the next thing you know, I'm needing to apologize again for that same stupid weakness. It's on my list. It's on my list. It used to be that I needed to get up every day of my life and say, he's going to come after you and try to get you to lose your temper today. He's going to come after you and try to get you to lose your temper today. Now it's to the point where if I'm in certain situations, I coach myself and I say, okay, this scenario has temper potential. Take it easy. Y'all know what I mean? Now, folks, your temper hurts you. Your temper will hurt your wife. It'll hurt your husband. It'll hurt your kids. Your temper, young people, hurts your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad. Could hurt your church. It could hurt the Lord in the way that we heard our testimonies. You see, when I read the verse and it talked about, I know the devil's trying to take advantage of me. But he said I could have victory if I were not ignorant of his devices. What that meant to me was, I know he's coming. I need to figure out what things he really works extra on me about. It might be a good idea that I just... And what I did is I put a list together and I said, okay, he's come at me so many times. It's like the business that had the book of who don't take a check from. These people are going to hurt you. And I said, the devil is going to hurt me. And he's coming after me in these areas. He's going to try to get me into that prideful behavior again. He's going to take my strength and he's going to push me to the point where I start to lose my faith in God. And I doubt that I can make it. And I doubt that I can take it. That despair, that panic, that little freak out where you're wondering, is it all over? And he's done that and he's pushed me to that point before. And then I think of my temper then. There's something the devil does, and I think most everybody would have this on their list. Isn't it amazing how the devil can use our families to discourage or hurt or scare us? The Bible says in Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Oh my. The devil takes certain shots at me, and hey, look. Anybody in here that's married, if you have a rough morning with your marriage, it can be rough all day long at work. The devil knows, he knows how to do those sort of things. I've watched him come after me, and if he wanted to ruin my day, if he could mess up the starting of my day and my relationship with my wife, that can stay with me all day long. It just makes it hard. And I got to tell you, folks, in America today, I think everybody should probably have this on their list, because I think virtually the American culture is no longer for the family. I mean, they make fun of you. You use the word virginity out there, it's a joke. You talk about so many aspects of purity, it's a joke. You look at the average television show, they mock the husband as the head of the home, and you don't even find a show anymore where sodomy's not thrown into it, and everybody's laughing at it and thinks it's funny, and it's a deterioration of the home. But I got to tell you, boy, the devil will come after you. Let me say to everybody in here, you gotta guard your marriage, and you gotta guard your home, and you gotta guard your relationships. Mom and dad can be doing so well serving the Lord, and one of the kids can get into trouble, and it breaks your heart, and it's devastating to you. And the devil, and I gotta tell you, the devil, he doesn't play clean, and he does not play fair. If you say I'm the stronger of the Christians in our home, I hate this, and I need to warn you. You may be the strong Christian in the home, but you know what the devil may do? He may come after one of the other weaker people in your family. What? To mess up the harmony in the home? And it's devastating. And I hate him. I hate the devil. I hate the way he does things. You know, I wish we could all say, devil, you want to fight somebody, fight the strong one. But he plays dirty pool. He'll go after a weaker one or somebody that's struggling a little bit more. But you know, I know I've got to guard myself in regard to that. I've got a problem. He'll come after my pride, and then I'll make a stupid mistake with my pride, or he'll push me beyond my strength, or he'll push my buttons with my temper, or he has a way of taking family, and in a variety of ways. He can get involved in family elements, and the next thing you know, you're discouraged, you're depressed. You're worried, you're hopeless, you're helpless. So I would wish everybody here would know something. I preached a sermon what Sunday or two ago. It's just called Serve God. Let me tell you all something. No matter what you go through and no matter what your family goes through, keep serving God. But the devil knows that he can come after our families and it can get us off track. He has a way of coming after us. And then you got to face the parts of the family. Some of you, as you've grown in the Lord, and your entertainments are different, and you dress different, and you behave different. And then you've got the elements of your family that do not understand that at all. And you're dealing with that, and you're trying to get all this in your brain. The devil has a variety of ways of trying to get us off track and to get us down and get us discouraged. I just know, I believe this, and I don't want to make it spooky or eerie. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy, and I know for a fact that I'm doing what God called me to do. I can't picture myself doing anything else. But I do know this, in my march toward Zion to do something great for God, boy, have we and our family been beat around. And I got to keep my eye on that thing, because I got to remember, I know the devil's going to try to come after my family. I know that, but it's funny. You get in the midst of the battle and you're going, whew, I guess I wasn't expecting this. Well, I guess we all ought to be expecting him to come after our families. He's been doing it forever. But it's on my list. And if there's turmoil or hurt or pain or misunderstanding or whatever it is in the family, I always keep that in mind, because it's one of the things that I tend to feel like the devil just throws at me. It's on my list. Not only that. Finances. It's on my list. Now, maybe finance is not on your list, but it's on my list. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says, "But money answereth all things." Now, what that's talking about, money can affect all areas of your life. It can and it will. It's on my list. Now, anybody in here that has any character, money affects your thinking. May I call it a necessary evil of life? But boy, isn't it amazing how money can affect us. And amazing how money affects our attitudes. It's amazing. And it's a great pressure of life. I don't know, in the ministry, there are a lot of pressures in the ministry, but I'm not really sure that I could tell you of any pressure in the ministry that is greater than the financial pressures of the ministry. Do you understand how we get loans for buildings at a church? I go down to a banker and I say, "I would like for you to lend me $1 million. He said, "On what basis?" I said, "Well, down at our church, we take a hat and pass it around and people put money in it. And I'm going to promise you, I'm going to bring you what was in the hat to make the building payment." You all do understand that's how I do it. You say, "Well, that's dumb." What's dumber is they loan it to us. Oh, but boy. Men, dads, finances can get heavy. Man, paying all the bills, ladies that help to pay the bills, it can get tough. Now, I've told God, I said, I'm never going to steal the tithe. You're going to get the tithe. And then I made the decision to put my kids in the Christian school. So now I'm paying the government their money for kids in the government school. And then I put my kids in the Christian school and I pay double. Or you homeschool and you're paying double or whatever you're doing. Wow, it can get heavy. I just have to tell you, if my spirit is down, if I feel a little bit overwhelmed, I can usually go to my list and say, "Well, let's see what the devil's been doing to me lately." I can go to this list and say, "Yep, right there it is. There's two. There, right there's why I'm having a rough day." It's those finances. You know, you get your paycheck and it's already spent. That's a bummer. That's a bummer. That's why when you get your paycheck, you ought to drive the long way home. Don't go right to the bank. At least have that piece of paper for a couple extra hours. Because the minute it goes in the bank, it's gone. There's too much month at the end of the money. Well, I promise you, when I'm taking a hit, it's one of these areas. And I've been taking the hit from the devil long enough, I figured out his devices on me. And you know what this does? This helps me. when I'm taking a hit, I can look at my list and say, wait a minute, I knew he would come at me in this area. Somehow, it gets me a half step toward the refreshment of my spirit, and it has something to do with helping me to climb out of the hole that he tried to kick me down into. It's my money. It's my family. It's my temper. It's my pride. It's pushing me beyond what I thought were my limits. Let me give you a couple more and we're done, and I'll be quick. Obviously, my sin. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. My past sins, they reproach me. I wonder how many times Satan comes to me and he'll say, you don't deserve to be a preacher. And you know what I tell him? I say, I agree. You say, well, how do you deal with that, preacher? I say, well, I didn't call me. God did. And if he's willing to use me, I'm willing to try to do what he needs me to do. But my, oh my, oh my. Isn't the devil good at taking our sins and using them against us? And folks, I don't want you to sin. Sin's bad. Don't sin. But God can still use you. But the devil, he'll come at me and he'll remind me of the times I've let God down. And it overwhelms me. I mean, there are times when I look at me and I say, somebody else ought to do this. I'm going to tell you something. I mean this very passionately. One of the biggest reasons I look forward to heaven. Now, a lot of people look forward to heaven for a lot of things. But I look forward to heaven because I know this. I know, Brother Nofsinger, when I get there, there will never be another day when I will have to apologize to God. I will be cleaned up. I get so tired of going to God and saying, I blew it again. I lost my temper again. I did this wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I don't pray like I should. I'm not the man of God I ought to be. I get so tired of having to go to God continuously and apologize and confess. Brother Dave, I can't wait to get to heaven. It'll be the first day I did not have to apologize to God. But my sin, it's on my list. He uses my past failures against me. And then I'm going to finish and I'm done. My age. And the Bible says in James 4:14, whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. I started preaching when I was 16. And back then, this is what I heard. You're too young. You're too young. You're a novice. You're just a wildfire brand. I bet you wouldn't believe what I was called. And so, for the longest time, I had to deal with the fact that I was too young to be used of God, and too young to do this, and too young to do that. And now, I ask myself, am I too old? Am I too old? I plan to serve God all the way to the end. I plan to keep moving and do everything that I possibly can for God. But I want you all to know something. There's some of you, you're young in your Christian life, and you say, well, I just don't know enough, and I'm too young. Don't you let the devil stop you with that. But yet, there are some of you, you've got a few years on you, and you've got some extra miles on you. You say, well, it's too late for me to do anything for God, and I can't be used of God. I'm sorry. Don't let the devil lie to you. It's funny, when I was young, I struggled with I'm too young. And now that I'm getting a little older, I struggle with the fact that I'm too old. I wonder if the devil's got his fingers in that thing anywhere. Notice there doesn't seem to be any age that's adequate to serve God based on the devil's approach to it. Hey, God uses all ages of people. Folks, you may retire from Ford or GM or Toyota, but you never retire on God. We just keep on going. My sermon's over. Here's what I did. One day I put together a couple of lists. One was a list of what encourages me. And when I'm having a tough time, I can go to that list. And I look on that list and I say, you know what? These things help me. I wrote me a prescription before I ever got sick. And I went and I applied the prescription and the medicine to this old sin-cursed soul, and the antibiotic of God's Word did something great for me. But I also prepared a list of how I think the devil most frequently attacks me. And folks, everybody here, there are areas where the devil attacks you. You kind of know what many of them are, because you've been through it enough. Could I recommend that you get you a list of how he attacks you and you prepare yourself? Listen to the verse. It said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. I told my 7th and 8th grade soccer team, I said, I know those guys are bigger. I know that they look massive. It's a big enemy. But I'm going to tell you how we can handle them, and I'll tell you what their strengths are when they're coming at us. And it's a funny thing. Some of the great big burly guys, my little 7th grade guys, like jackrabbits, like BBs. And the big guys were running circles around them out there. I said, we will not beat them with strength, but agility. We'll approach it by thinking in the right way. Now, folks, don't let Satan take advantage of you. Know where your weaknesses are. Be prepared for the battle in those areas. Hey, and they're going to slip in on you. But the minute you say, whoa, wait a minute, I know about this one, you're already on your way to healing. You're already on your way up the spiritual ladder, because you know he attacks in that area. And it's him trying to take you down. Let's not let him take advantage of us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend Jesus to you. I wish you'd get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? How many of you could raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it? Would you let God see your hand? You say, I'm saved and I know it. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Who here would say, Pastor, today I think I needed something. Something you said, that'll help me. Pastor, you're right. I need to take a look at those areas where he comes at me, and I need to shore up those areas a little more. Matter of fact, I need to just keep my eye on those areas so I'm not caught off guard when he comes at me from the same angle he's come many times before. God has spoken to my heart today. I think God's going to help me to strengthen some areas of my life as a result of what I've heard. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play, and we're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved, and you maybe need a moment at the altar, maybe need to come down here and say, Lord, the devil, he's attacked me in one of those weak areas just this week, just in the last few hours. I got attacked in the area. Now I see that's the devil coming at me again, trying to stop me. I'm not going to be ignorant to his devices. I see how he comes after me. I'm going to ask, if you need the altar, that you not be afraid to use it. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You might need to come and say, Lord, help me. I see that weak area. I need help with it. And really, there are some of you, you might need to actually make a list in your Bible. You might need to write down some of those areas where the devil seems to come after you so you can keep an eye on them, so that you can be aware of them, so you are not ignorant of his devices against you. Your list may not be exactly like my list, and my list may not be like yours. Mine includes pride. Mine includes my temper. Mine includes the devil's ability to convince me that I've been pushed beyond my limit. Mine includes the hurts that my family suffer. Mine includes my finances, and then my own personal sin, and then my age. I would get so discouraged as a young man, constantly being told, you're so young, you're so young, you're so young, you're too loud for being so young, you're too strong for being so young. Now I'm older, and I'm too loud for being so old, and I'm still too aggressive being so old. I just can't seem to satisfy the devil at all. But I just wonder, don't let your age get you down. lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And the altar's still open. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. It'll only be a moment, and we'll be on our way. There's too much repetitive failure in the same areas. And now I think you're going to fail in some of your weak spots, but do the failures also have to be as extreme or as deep or as long? Shouldn't we be getting a handle on this thing? We have some folks that have been saved. We'll tell you who they are at the end of this invitation song, and then we'll be on our way. I hope this isn't one of those church services where you just come in, get out, you're going to ignore what you heard, because I'm going to make you a promise. If you will do what I told you today, you're going to be a stronger Christian. For some of you, you need to make that little list of what encourages you and let it do so. But the sermon today was, you better figure out what discourages you. And you better figure out a way to strengthen yourself in those areas and not be totally, constantly caught off guard by those things. You should not be controlled by them for long, if at all.